Usually, when you picture a black hole, there's this, this underlying expectation of just total destruction. It's like the ultimate cosmic vacuum cleaner. A star, maybe a stray planet, or I don't know, a massive cloud of gas gets a little too close and it just gets sucked in,
Yeah, it gets caught.
crushed down into a singularity, and it's just gone forever.
An absolute void. I mean, we historically treat black holes as this like a physical delete button for the universe. It's a very binary, incredibly clean way to look at the cosmos. You know, stuff goes in, stuff is erased.
But then you step into the world of theoretical physics, specifically the intersection of holographic duality and quantum computation, and suddenly that cosmic vacuum cleaner is, well, it's something entirely
It
different.
completely flips the script.
It really does. Because in today's deep dive, we have to look at a stack of theoretical physics notes that propose just a wild idea. The idea is that black holes aren't destroying reality at all. They are actually the ultimate cryptographically secure cosmic computers. And they are like actively stitching our physical reality together. By the end of this conversation, you're going to see them in a totally new light.
But to even begin to understand how a massive physical object, like a literal black hole, computes anything, we have to completely change how we look at basic math. We basically have to stop looking at nothingness and start looking at explosions.
Okay, let's get into the mass of that. Because normally, when you track a system in algebra, you look for zeros,
Standard roots.
right? You look for the points where an equation vanishes, where everything balances out to zero. But this source material says that to understand a black hole, we need to throw that entirely out the window, and we need to use a characteristic singular polynomial. And that is not defined by its zeros. It's defined by its poles.
So in a standard polynomial, the zeros are the roots. They are the points where the function essentially turns off. It hits zero. But a singular polynomial is driven by its poles, which are, the exact opposite. Poles are the exact coordinates where the mathematical function just blows up to infinity.
So picture like this for a second. If a mathematical zero is like a drain where the water just vanishes, then a pole is a geyser where it violently explodes outward.
That is a great way to look at it. And tracking those geysers turns out to be incredibly powerful.
Why is that?
Well, a single pole stores essentially, quote unquote, infinite information, but in a highly compact, localized form.
Oh.
It gives you two crucial pieces of data. First, a specific location, meaning exactly where the blowup happens.
Right.
And second, a residue.
A residue.
The residue is basically the mathematical signature of the explosion. So its strength, its shape, the direction it goes.
Got it.
And when you multiply multiple poles together, you don't just get, two independent geysers spraying water next to each other.
Okay.
You create what the notes call entangled singularities.
Wait, hold on. Entangled singularities. I mean, if I hit infinity on my calculator or, in a spreadsheet, I get an error message.
Right, the system panics.
Exactly. It crashes because infinity usually breaks things. How is a mathematical crash suddenly the most like efficient way to store physical data?
That goes straight to the heart of how we approximate reality.
Okay.
Think about the concept of rational approximation.
Natural approximation. Okay.
So, if you try to describe a highly complex, chaotic system using normal data points, you would need billions of them.
Like what kind of system?
Like the turbulent atmosphere of a gas giant or the exact state of a dying star.
Oh, right. So a massive amount of data.
Enormous. It's incredibly inefficient. The data file would be just massive. But if you describe that exact same system by only mapping its poles, its
You
singularity.
just map the geysers.
Exactly. You map the geysers. You are compressing the entire function into a very sparse, highly interpretable set of parameters. You're ignoring all the smooth, predictable parts of the curve and just saying, hey, tell me exactly where the system blows up and how hard it blows up.
And that's enough.
That gives you the entire shape of the system. It is the ultimate form of data compression.
That is wild.
So these poles, these geysers of infinite behavior, they act as the true irreducible atoms of computation in this model.
Okay, so if these mathematical geysers are, nature's ultimate ZIP files, what actually happens when a massive physical object gets sucked in?
You mean like a star?
Yeah, like a whole star. That represents an enormous amount of complex data. So when it hits the universe's biggest singularity, how does a black hole actually read and compress that incoming data?
Well, the math of these poles maps perfectly onto the physical information pipeline of a black hole interacting with its host galaxy.
Okay.
Let's trace a signal as it falls in. Imagine a real-valued physical signal from a galaxy.
So like the light from the star.
Yeah, the light curve of that dying star, or maybe a massive wave of gravitational energy. As it approaches the black hole, mathematically, this real-world signal is decomposed into complex roots.
Okay, wait, when you say complex roots, what does that actually look like for the star physically?
You can think of them physically as damped exponentials.
Damped exponentials.
Yeah, imagine plucking a guitar string.
Okay.
It spikes in energy right away, and then it slowly vibrates down until it stops entirely.
Like the sound phase out.
Exactly. So the star's physical information is broken down into billions of these decaying vibrational waves, these complex roots.
Okay, so it's translated into waves.
Yes. And once the data is in that format, the black hole performs two distinct, just extreme physical operations on it.
Two operations.
The first one is inversion.
And this happens right at the event horizon, right? The point of no return.
Exactly there. As the matter crosses the event horizon, the extreme gravity literally warps space and time so severely that their mathematical roles actually swap. This is described by the Kriskal-Seckers extension. Kriskal Seckers. But physically, what's happening is that the black hole is mapping the exterior of the horizon perfectly onto the interior.
So it's flipping it.
Yes. It takes every incoming wave, every root, let's just call it Z, and it flips it inside out to 1 over Z.
So it's spatially folding the data in on itself, like turning a sock inside out.
Yeah, exactly. And once the data is inverted like that, the second operation kicks in, which is mixing.
Mixing, okay.
The black hole takes all that inverted, folded data and it scrambles it. But this isn't just randomly tossing things in a bucket.
Right, it's not a mess.
No, it uses a random unitary matrix.
Which means what, physically?
Physically, it means the black hole takes every single original piece of that star and violently delocalizes it. It smears it across all the other pieces.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every piece of data becomes entangled with every other piece across the entire surface area of the event horizon.
So the black hole is essentially taking this smooth real-world smoothie, which is the light and gravity of the galaxy, right?
Sure, yeah.
It's freezing the ingredients into these complex, vibrating mathematical ice cubes.
I like this analogy.
And then it flips those ice cubes completely inside out and then throws them into a massive quantum blender.
That is a surprisingly accurate way to describe it. Yes.
A quantum blender.
And because of that specific dual process, you know, the precise inversion followed by the quantum smearing, the math dictates that all those incoming roots map directly onto what we call the unit circle.
The unit circle.
Yeah, in complex geometry, the unit circle is a perfect ring where the magnitude, basically the actual size of every number, is exactly one.
Exactly one. So it's not blowing up anymore.
Right. It's a state of perfect mathematical equilibrium. It's not growing to infinity, and it's not shrinking down to zero.
It's balanced.
Exactly. And through the lens of holographic duality, these roots sitting perfectly on that unit circle now, quote unquote, belong to the singularity.
Right.
All the three-dimensional data of that original star is now encoded perfectly as two-dimensional data smeared right across the black hole's horizon.
But, I mean, if you just leave a blender running indefinitely, eventually you don't really have ingredients anymore.
So you just get mush.
Yeah, you just have this gray, unrecognizable sludge.
Yeah.
If the black hole is constantly smearing and mixing all this star data, why doesn't the information just, well, degrade into pure, unreadable noise?
Because the universe has a very strict physical law governing what is actually allowed to survive this process.
Okay.
It's governed by something called the conditional collapse theory, or CCT.
CCT. Got it.
According to this theory, for the star's information to survive the extreme mixing of the black hole, it has to hit a very specific sweet spot of simplification.
Kind of like a Goldilocks rule for quantum survival.
Exactly like that. Let's look at the extremes for a second.
Sure.
If a root inside that quantum blender gets compressed so much that it just becomes mathematically zero, the information is permanently destroyed.
Right. Deleted.
But the fundamental laws of quantum mechanics do not allow that.
Because of unitarity.
Right. Unitarity demands that quantum information must always be conserved. The universe physically refuses to let the data reach zero.
So total deletion is physically impossible.
Correct.
What about the other extreme then?
If the mixing makes the root totally chaotic, like completely unpredictable, random, static, it becomes uncomputable.
And what happens then?
The cosmic computer simply halts. The black hole can no longer process the mathematical state, so it basically freezes.
Wow. Okay, so if it can't be deleted and it can't become just pure static, what exactly is the middle ground? What allows the black hole to keep running?
To survive, the complex roots of that dying star have to simplify.
They simplify.
Yeah, they have to resolve into a highly predictable periodic pattern that oscillates exactly on that stable unit circle we talked about.
Okay, so it finds a rhythm.
Exactly. The data has to find a perfect repeating rhythm, and once it finds that highly simplified, low-entropy pattern, the black hole has successfully processed it.
And then where does it go?
That simplified data is then translated back into real number oscillations, and it's emitted right back into the galaxy.
Wait, really?
Yeah, and we observe those very real physical oscillations in our telescopes today.
What do we call them?
We call it Hawking radiation.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hawking radiation. Okay, so think about, you know, when you try to compress a massive 4K video file to send it over email to somebody.
Right. Terrible idea, usually.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you compress it down to 0 bytes, the movie is just gone forever. You've destroyed the file.
It's zeroed out.
Right. But if you use some Terrell compression software and it turns the video into pure random static, the file technically exists, but it's completely unwatchable. It's just chaos.
Exactly.
So to actually send the movie, the software must find that perfect algorithmic compression, like stripping out the unnecessary pixels while keeping the core structural pattern entirely intact. So the black hole is basically finding the perfect structural pattern of the star, so the movie can actually survive the quantum blender and be played back into the universe as Hawking radiation.
That is exactly it. The black hole acts as the universe's most efficient compression algorithm.
That's incredible.
It constantly balances between total destruction and uncomputable chaos. It actively strips away the excess entropy of that dying star and isolates the absolute core mathematical pattern.
And then that exact pattern radiates back out.
Precisely.
Okay, but if a black hole is executing this flawless algorithmic compression, it needs, like, instructions.
Right. It needs a protocol.
Yeah. What programming language or blueprint is the black hole following to actually execute this mixing? Because according to our sources, it isn't just using some abstract cosmic force.
No.
It's using the most fundamental building blocks of basic arithmetic, prime numbers.
This is where the notes just perfectly bridge theoretical physics and pure foundational mathematics.
Yeah.
The proposal here is that prime numbers act as the irreducible, hard-coded blueprint for the universe's complexity.
Okay.
The notes outline a very specific mathematical framework. It's called the Riemann-Zeta black hole equation, or RZBHE.
Which sounds like something straight out of a sci-fi novel.
It really does, but it's describing a very specific type of processing. You see, a general black hole model usually just describes gravity and mass.
Right.
But this equation defines a black hole driven entirely by an NP-hard cryptographic mixing protocol.
Wait, okay, NP-hard, meaning problems that are notoriously difficult, like practically impossible to solve quickly.
Exactly.
Even if you had a supercomputer the size of a planet, it would take forever.
Yes. And the mixing operator inside this specific black hole model uses what they call prime-gated unitaries.
Prime-gated unitaries.
Yeah. If you work in cybersecurity, this mechanism operates almost identically to AES or SHA-256 encryption hashes.
Seriously.
It leverages the fundamental inherent properties of prime numbers to scramble the physical data of the star.
Wait, let's unpack that for a second for the listener.
Yeah.
Because are we saying,
right,
are we saying a literal physical object in space is running like AES 256 encryption, like a server rack? Or is this a mathematical metaphor?
Oh, right.
Like suggesting that the universe's natural physical scrambling process just happens to be as computationally hard to reverse as human cryptography.
It is the latter. That's a very important distinction.
Okay.
But the physical structure of the process maps perfectly onto our digital cryptography. I mean, think about it. Why do we base our bank encryption on prime numbers?
Because it's hard to crack.
Right. Taking two massive prime numbers and multiplying them together is very easy. But taking the result and figuring out which two primes created it.
That's computationally hard.
Incredibly hard. It takes way too much time and energy. The universe appears to rely on that exact same mathematical hardness to scramble physical information inside a black hole.
Wow.
The incoming roots, you know, the star matter, are literally sorted using an optimization process that mirrors the traveling salesperson problem.
Okay, so just like a salesperson trying to find the absolute shortest physical route to visit 100 different cities.
Yes.
The black hole is trying to find the most mathematically efficient route to entangle a billion pieces of star data.
Yes, exactly. The black hole is constantly testing mathematical paths to link the data. It evaluates the cryptographic difficulty of entangling different routes.
And then what?
Depending on a specific time threshold, it makes a choice.
Okay.
If a path is mathematically simple, it linearly adds the routes together, which is essentially exploring the data.
Exploring. Okay.
But if the path crosses a threshold of cryptographic difficulty, it non-linearly couples them. It deeply entangles them.
I see.
This represents the convergence phase, where the data is finally locked into its compressed state.
So it's dynamically adapting its compression strategy in real time based on just how hard the math is.
It is actively optimizing the information.
That is mind-bending.
And the ultimate mathematical proof of this whole information preservation model rests on something truly staggering.
What's that?
For the information to survive, so to perfectly avoid becoming a destroyed zero or halting into pure chaos,
right,
the mathematical roots must stay balanced exactly on what mathematicians call the critical line.
The critical line.
In complex analysis, the critical line is the exact place where the real part of the number equals exactly 1/2.
Wait, so RTS equals 1/2?
Yes.
And anyone familiar with higher math knows exactly what that means.
Well, yeah. That is the precise defining condition of the Riemann hypothesis.
The Riemann hypothesis.
Yeah. The source material fundamentally suggests that the conservation of physical information in a black hole is mathematically equivalent to the Riemann hypothesis being true.
We are taking the greatest unsolved problem in the history of mathematics, the exact distribution and pattern of prime numbers.
Yes.
And we're saying it is the literal physical mechanism that allows a black hole to process and preserve the universe's data.
It implies that the physical fabric of reality is literally held together by the distribution of primes.
That is just...
The black hole does not invent complexity when a star falls in. It applies the irreducible foundational complexity of prime numbers to actually process and digest the physical matter.
Okay, let's zoom out and look at the whole picture we've painted today, because we've covered a ton of ground.
We really have.
We started by completely flipping standard math upside down.
Right.
We stopped looking at zeros, yeah, where things vanish, and we started looking at poles.
The geysers of infinity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Realizing that mapping those explosions is the ultimate way to compress infinite physical data.
And then we followed a dying star as it fell into a black hole.
Right.
Watching its physical data get decomposed into those complex waves. As it hit the event horizon, space and time warped so extremely that the data inverted.
It turned completely inside out.
Yes, before being violently smeared and mixed across the unit circle by a quantum blender.
And we saw that the universe enforces a strict simplify or halt rule. Information physically cannot be zeroed out.
Because of unitarity.
Right. And it cannot become pure static. It is forced to find a perfect compressed periodic pattern on that unit circle.
So it can survive.
And radiate back into the galaxy as Hawking radiation.
And finally, we uncovered the programming language driving that entire cosmic blender. The universe uses the inherent computational hardness of prime numbers to sort and entangle the data.
Which suggests that the Riemann hypothesis itself acts as the cryptographic engine of physical reality.
Exactly.
This completely upends how you should view the cosmos. I mean, it tells you that the universe is not just a random collection of dead rocks, burning gas, and, you know, destructive void-like vacuum cleaners.
No, not at all.
It is a highly ordered, real-time information processing system. Nothing you see is ever truly lost.
Right.
When a planet or a star falls into a black hole, it isn't deleted from reality.
It's cryptographically compressed.
Processed using the hardest mathematics in existence and painstakingly translated back into the physical universe.
It is, at its core, a surprisingly optimistic view of physics, honestly.
Yeah, it really is.
It proves that the universe actively works to preserve its own history. The data of everything that has ever existed is structurally maintained.
The history of the universe is just perfectly backed up.
Exactly.
And I want to leave you with a final, slightly provocative thought to mull over.
Oh.
If every single black hole is running its own unique NP-hard cryptographic mixing protocol.
Right.
Like a specific algorithm that adapts and evolves based entirely on the unique physical matter and data that fell into it.
Yeah.
Does that mean every black hole in the night sky is essentially its own unique, completely unhackable cosmic blockchain?
Well, when you look at the math, that is a staggering but incredibly logical implication.
Right. So the next time you look up at the night sky and think about those massive dark spots scattered across the galaxies, don't picture a cosmic vacuum cleaner indiscriminately destroying matter.
No.
Picture the universe's ultimate supercomputers, just quietly crunching prime numbers to keep the fabric of reality securely stitched together.
That's beautifully put.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.